clean recording. All right. Sorry. That's a new feature from Zoom. So whenever you guys come on the call, just so you guys know, you now have to do it. I don't get to do the sound anymore. They think it's an upgrade. All right. Tell everybody. Let's say the question is, I don't like seeing my overeats. Ah, so I don't do my assessments or write about what actually happened. So now let's just coach on that.
Okay.
Tell me why you don't like seeing it.
Well, I think I wrote notes, by the way.
So. And you typed them.
Yeah. Well, let's see. I think I do my assessments for the most part, but I don't, let's see. I don't think I'm doing them at the right time, because I was listening to your last live the other day, and you were talking about transition time, and I think perfect, because I think my transition time is 7 to 9, and I do my assessments like right now in the evening, like while I'm making dinner. And so I'm like, yeah, everything's great. I'm on plan, whatever. And then my 7 to 9 comes around, and it's that bored eating or the grab assing, or I'm preparing my lunch for the next day and I, you know, snack on something, or I look in the fridge. I'm like, oh,
so you're not doing an assessment. You know, right. Right? You're not doing them at all.
Like, okay.
See, in the beginning you said you were doing your assessment. This is what you're doing. Yeah. Right. That's the problem. You think you're doing them.
Yeah.
And you're overeating at night and not assessing that part. The problem isn't the perfect day. The problem is 7 to 9 o'clock. So that's exactly you know when the assessment really needs to happen?
Mm-hmm.
9 o'clock.
Yes. No, you're right.
Yeah. That's why it's so important to tell ourselves the truth. We often don't realize we're not telling ourselves the truth. We're like, but I have paper.
Yeah.
If I was to say, you know, turn in your work, you'd be like, here I am. Here's all my work, you know. And you could argue one truth, which is I do my assessments.
Okay.
But the truth is I don't do jack shit. Here's what I do. I make myself feel good right before I start overeating.
Right. Okay.
So that is like the thing to be aware of. Now, it's a good thing to be aware of it. That's why you're here, because this is very common with a lot of people. There's this thing where very often you can feel like you're doing work because like you're actually doing some things. Mm-hmm. But when you know you're actually taking real action that matters is when you're getting results from them.
Right.
So if your overeating isn't ending, then you go back and you ask yourself, okay, something's wrong here. I feel like I'm assessing and I feel like I'm doing the stuff. There seems to be this big problem where I'm overeating, and then I'm gonna just guess. You could tell me, I may be wrong, but the scale is probably not moving at the speed at which you would like.
Yeah, I've been consistent for the last few weeks. I haven't changed.
Okay, and so then that's when you start seeing like, all right, I'm kind of looking at things like it sounds one way in my head, but everything else is indicating problem. So that's why it's so good to do this, because then you can like, this is when I think that's when you hit the level of maturity to be able to say like, okay, I know I feel really good. Like, and this is what happens is we're doing so much better than we used to be. We fall into the trap of, yeah, but I'm assessing and you know, like I'm in the tribe now. And oh my God, if you saw me eat 2 to 2 at lunch, you'd just be like shit in your pants. Like we have like all this stuff. We're not to diminish it. But it's like, all right, time for me to step up. Like I am doing all of this stuff and it is so much better, but it's time to go to the next level. And a lot of times we don't want to let go of that piece, because the next level is always like day one of PNP, all the work.
Yes. And I feel like I'm kind of everywhere right now, because I'm so excited about like, what course do I need to take, or what, you know, like what sheet do I need to fill out, or, you know, and I think it's just, I don't want to say that I'm overwhelmed, but I think that there's so much and I just want to do it all. And I need to, and I keep on telling myself, go back to your basics, write your plan, do this, do that. And so I feel like maybe I'm not accomplishing anything, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah. It's not overwhelm. Like everybody always wants to say, like I could throw 5,000 more programs at you guys. If you're overeating between 7 and 9, there's one tool we have for that. Do you know which one that is?
The recovery worksheet.
Yep.
which I'm not doing.
Right. It's an assessment tool.
Yeah, I know. I did print them out too, but they're just sitting here.
And this is so, that is so good because like, I love this call. I swear to God, I love this call.
Thanks.
Because this is like, I even do this in my own work. Mm-hmm. Like I can go and check email, boss the coaches around and I can do stuff while I have next month's program to write. Mm-hmm. That's going to take a lot of bandwidth in my head. Like it's going to be work. There's reading involved. There's like keynotes. I mean, like they're work, right?
Right.
Well, I'm going to go check Slack, see what the coaches are up to, you know, and that's what we end up doing. It's like, oh, I printed the worksheets. Corinne said, print them. Gold star for me. Like I follow the podcast, you know, like,
right. Yeah.
Assessments. Well, before I read at night, I get mine done every day, you know, like we do that and it feels so good. But the reason that we have to be on to ourselves is like, okay, we want it to not only feel good doing it, but we want the result behind it. So if the result's not coming in, then that's when we just like, you don't think about every course. You don't think, oh my God, there's so many shiny objects in PMP. You look at your data. Doesn't matter how much stuff I give you.
Yeah.
Your data is what matters. And you need to just look at what you have because you can't pick a tool without being really honest about your data.
Right.
And then the second you know exactly what your problem is, like when you look at your stuff and you're not just looking at the website, kind of like, ooh, this looks good. I might have a problem with a relationship. Let's listen to what Chris has to say on this. When you're looking at your stuff and you're like, holy shit, I'm eating every night between 7 and 9. I just now noticed I do my assessment at 7 o'clock. I probably should be assessing what goes on when I'm eating outside of this assessment. Right. Suddenly the light comes on. It's like, so if I'm going to solve this problem, what would I need to do to solve it? Probably should do them damn recovery worksheets all that tribe talks about.
I think I need to stick them like in the refrigerator so well, I can pull one out. And
yeah, like, they're like right on the front. It's like, oh, hello. Let me pull you. I'm going to sit with you and my food. And then you kind of start knowing what you need to be doing.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like, oh, okay, if I'm eating it's for between 7 and 9, because you even said it, I didn't even say it. Mm-hmm. Like, maybe I should, you know, do that assessment later. Maybe 7 o'clock's not the right time for me. But when you're honest and you're just like, oh, this is what my data says, it becomes real clear. And I think I'm so glad you brought it up because, you know, lots of people, like, they think, oh, we have so much stuff. It's like, yeah, because we have a lot of problems.
Right.
I don't want to just be like, all right, well, all we're going to do is focus on 4 basics in the recovery worksheet. Y'all get nothing else.
Right. Can I ask about one thing specifically?
Yeah. I need to confess. Time.
Yeah, I need to confess. Okay, so I've realized the pattern that I'm having with, like, I'll go out with my friends and, you know, and then I go to the drive-thru afterwards, you know, my little Whataburger 2 in the morning thing. Like the other day, I decided I want to go dancing. I was going to go by myself and I wasn't going to drink because the whole point was to exercise. Like that's all I wanted to do. That was my exercise. I was going to go work out and dance. And so I didn't drink. And I was like, I'm not drinking because I'm not going to go through that drive-thru because it's not on my plan. Well, I just miraculously show up in this drive-thru and I was like, okay, if I'm here, I'm going to make a good decision. I'm going to eat a grilled chicken sandwich. And I got a grilled chicken sandwich and I get home and I unwrap that sucker and I'm so excited about it. And they gave me a double bacon cheeseburger and it was so good. But I mean, so I realized at that point, it's not a drinking after problem. It's an entertainment problem.
Yeah. You just want the Whataburger.
Yeah. So
what is it going to take for you to quit going to the Whataburger and don't say
no? That's why I'm asking.
Right. So I'm asking you. I want you to brainstorm out loud so I can help you.
Well, I mean, the only thing I could think of is if I know I'm going to go meet my friends, maybe I just need to, for now, make that an exception meal and plan it. And I don't know.
You can make it your
exception. To like,
if you're willing to give up your other exception meal, you totally can do that. That's no problem.
Right.
You also can do a planned overeat But here's the thing I caution you on. I would never make Whataburger a drunken overeat planned. It won't have, you'll be like, well, this was great. I thank God we get to do this. Like the shameful conversation that's supposed to kick in will never happen when you're
drunk. Yeah. And that's what
I've tried. I'm like, yeah, you run a great program, Queenie. So what I would do is I would either do it that way. The third option, like literally the third option is to like, just dig into like, what is the worst thing that's going to happen if you don't go? Like, I want you to really think about, not just say like, well, nothing really. No, it's going to be terrible. You're going to want Whataburger like
I'll sit in discomfort and then I'll just go home and either just like
wallow in self-pity.
Discomfort or find something in my fridge. But, you know.
Well, that's the problem. So this is why I ask you, okay? So I want you to really think about what you just said. And it's so unconscious, but this is what's driving going to Whataburger. You feel like if you say no to Whataburger, you're eating no matter what. I'll just come home and find something in my fridge then. So why would you ever not go to Whataburger if plan B is to overeat at home?
Yeah.
And that's the problem. You're not working on not eating. You're working on not Whataburger, but you don't believe in yourself that you're going to come home and not eat.
Okay.
You're not visualizing and thinking like wholeheartedly what it's going to be like to not eat after going out with friends. Mm-hmm. And I will promise you the first few times it will be like, when I say terrible, what I mean by terrible is like, it will be so apparent you're not doing it. You will want it. Your brain's like, why are we not doing this? It's like, you didn't even drink and you danced. You can like, I don't know. There's gotta be something in the fridge. Like it will like, like it's like a grilled sandwich. It'll be all right. It's a grilled sandwich. We're leveling up. You have to tell yourself, no. Like when I'm not eating on plan, it doesn't, when I'm off plan, there's no leveling up at that point. Yeah, you're always leveling down.
Okay.
Somehow an off-plan eat is called me leveling down. And this is the thing. I talk about this all the time. I don't care if you actually eat. I just don't want you using your same sad ass excuses around it. Like, never be nice to yourself about it. You don't have to say like, you're a terrible person and stuff. But like, I just always tell myself like, look, Corinne, if you're having extra drinks, you need to be really aware that there's no justifying having them. This is a choice. It's one you'll regret tomorrow. Like, I tell myself the bitter truth. Because it doesn't, like, we don't want to get used to talking ourselves into things, no matter what.
Yes.
What I would do, if I was you, my best advice, I would probably plan consciously 2 to 3 outings with your friends where you are not going to eat afterward.
Okay.
And you visualize the fuck out of leaving, going straight home, not eating, all the chatter that will come up for you. Like, I would make a brain dump list of everything you'll want to tell yourself, all the nice things, all of it. Yeah, and I would try not to drink on those times. Mm-hmm. Just so you can do this sober first and get some new habits and new thought patterns working around it. Like, you know, when you drink, your inhibition is going to go down. Mm-hmm. So you kind of want to do this a few times where you get some success underneath your belt. So your mind knows what to replicate.
Okay.
Then plan B is like, you could introduce the drinking, but if I was you, when I introduced drinking to the mix, okay, I would make that my exception.
Okay.
And I would be very clear on what that is so that you're not just like blowing it out because you're drunk and all that stuff.
Right. Yeah. No, drinking isn't too big of a battle, and I do plan it, and it's, you know, it's not like excessive or anything, but you know, like yesterday we had St. Patrick's Day, so it was a thing, you know, and then, you know, I mean, it's pretty occasional, but it's the entertainment, you know, that I guess that whole, like, I'm out with friends and now this is what you do when you're out with friends. So I don't know if it's the drinking or not, but I can definitely do your advice and not drink. But I think,
why do you think you want to eat afterward?
That's why I'm wondering. I think it's just a college habit and then it's just grown to doing it now.
Well, all right. So let's just break the habit. Do you have any drama around, like, all right, we're just not, we're never doing that again, ever.
Okay.
No, I mean,
I feel like I do that with the drinking, so why can't I do that with the fasting?
Exactly. But that's the question. Why haven't you just done it?
Yeah.
That's what I'm asking you. Like, why haven't you just done it? There's a reason you hold on to eating when the party's over.
Right. I don't know, to be honest with you. I don't know.
Yeah, we'll do it right now. Like, give me some guesses.
I mean, I think it's just a habit. I don't know if I just want to wind down maybe a little bit before I get home, just have a little bit of alone time before I go back to sleep, or
I don't know. But if you go to sleep, you have alone time.
Of course.
You ever tell yourself that?
No. And so, yeah, I mean, I don't know why. I really think it might just be just old bad habits from growing up or something.
Do you want the good times to end?
Well, yeah, I'm usually the lame one that's in bed by like 9 o'clock. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, then I would just like, let me just tell you, if there's nothing emotional driving it, mm-hmm. you should be able to turn it off like a faucet.
Okay.
I mean, seriously. It's like when somebody gets a cancer diagnosis and suddenly can overhaul their entire eating pattern. Yeah. Because there's no more emotional tie to the food. It's like, well, that's going to kill me. So I'm done eating that. You know what I mean?
Yes. I'm writing it down. Yes.
Yeah. If you continue to have a hard time with it, you need to ask yourself, what am I avoiding or what am I trying to create with food when I'm finished partying with my friends?
Okay.
Like when I'm by myself, because you're not doing it with them. You're doing it by yourself. And that's why, like, it's either that's how I always judge whether or not we need to explore deeper stuff. If you don't really know, cause you haven't thought about it enough and I will tell you, when you stop doing it, whatever is there, if there's anything other than just, toddler time of, I just want it stuff. If there's anything else there, it will come roaring to the surface. Be prepared to watch for that rather than oh, I can't take it, and then just eat. Because then you lose all your momentum on gaining some insight. So just let it come up for you. But that's how that's what I want all of you to know is, like, if you really don't understand if it's just habit or if it's emotional, if it's really just habit, then you just will stop. And you will suffer coming off of it. Be like, okay. I'm just going to be antsy. If it's emotional, it's like, oh my God, I can't take this. And all of a sudden you're like thinking about everything and like, oh, I don't like being alone. whatever it is.
Yes. Okay. Right. Well, that's a good.
We're going to move our sheet to when?
I'm sorry?
We're going to move our assessment to when?
9 o'clock.
9 o'clock. We're going to. Take a magnet and do what to the refrigerator?
We put recovery worksheets on the fridge.
I would probably put a couple that in the car. What a burger.
I know. I'm going to have them in my car.
My 2-minute drills right here staring at me.
Yes.
All right. Yeah,
I think that's like my biggest thing, because I'm not doing those assessments right there. Mm-hmm. And I know I need to.
That will tell you everything. Why do you eat between 7 and 9?
I think I'm bored. Like, I have my dinner. I get home at 5. I work out. I have my dinner. It's most like 90% planned. And then, I mean, what else do I got to do? I guess I could do laundry or chores or something to keep myself busy, but that's just kind of Christina time to wind down. And I usually do my little bedtime routine about 8:30 and wash my makeup off or shower or whatever I need to do. But I think it's just bored, or it's like, oh, somebody brought me some, cookies or in a gift basket or something, and you know, they're going to spoil, or you know, just I make up stuff.
Just like a justification to avoid boredom.
Yeah,
you know, like one of the things that I think you guys don't do enough of that I learned at my conference this last week. It's so important to plan joy in your life, mm-hmm. and not just joy that ends up with food or drink and all this other stuff. Like you need to figure out, like, if boredom is an issue for you. And I mean, mm-hmm. I want all of you to be able to tolerate boredom, but I'm not going to sit here and be like, yeah, you should just be bored every night and enjoy that. Mm-hmm. Find something that you love that you mm-hmm. can do at home. Like, I'm going to tell you right now, food will always be more compelling than boredom, and it will always be more compelling than doing your laundry.
Yeah.
That's why it's so important to find, one, a reason why you're doing all of this, so that when you are just legit bored, why you want to lose weight is way more compelling and worth the price of that discomfort over the boredom discomfort. But the other thing is, be doing some work around brainstorming how you can start enjoying your evenings.
Okay.
Like plan things at home, like try new things, read books, whatever you need to do, but figure out stuff that you actually can look forward to that, because you've said several times, decompress, decompress, decompress. You're screaming for decompression. Your body and your assessments would tell you you're looking to decompress. And it's hard to decompress when you're bored because you think something's wrong. So you're not decompressing. Right. So it's looking for something to like pull that in.
Okay.
So I think part of even like helping you with all of this would be like really brainstorming and being willing to try and read all kinds of books and do anything. Like, I don't care if you Netflix it out. But you don't right. eat when you do these things. Like you like put it on your calendar. It's like, from, you know, 7 to 8:30, I binge watch TV without food. Like this is my time, or, you know, whatever it is.
Okay.
You find that and you purposely put it into action, just like you would purposely put your meal plan together.
Okay.
All right, lady. Good call.
Thank you so much. I appreciate your help.
All right. Bye, sweetheart. Cutie patootie. All right, we have Betsy. Are you here? We have Betsy and Melissa are next. Let's see, Betsy, there we go. If y'all are wondering why I'm dressed so fabulous tonight, it's because I flew in from Phoenix today. Flew in, worked for an hour, and right on with you guys. Are you in the car? You're the bottom left of your phone, you have to join the audio. Can you join with audio? All right. So let's see what yours is. You have, oh, that's the wrong thing. Oh, wait, hello.
Hello.
Nice familiar face. I just can't bring myself to do a realistic plan. Help me see the value. Have you watched my video rant about it?
I don't think I have.
You should probably watch that. I yell about it.
Like, no, okay. I remember that, I think.
You want that treatment?
Not really.
Tell me why you don't see value in it. Let me guess. There's no way I could lose weight doing that, Corinne.
It's maybe partly that, but it's also, I think, partly my history with weight loss is that it has to be hard and I have to do things that I don't normally do.
Listen, if that's your definition, then go make a realistic plan that feels like ass to you. Why are you arguing with me? That's going to be, obviously it's hard or you wouldn't be on this call. Obviously it's doing something that you're not used to doing. Am I missing something?
Right. No. No. Yeah. And I actually have made realistic plans the whole last week.
Okay. How'd that go?
So, and it went pretty well.
Give me some stuff. I want some stuff. No pretty wells. I don't know what hell pretty well means.
Okay. I'm trying to think back. I mostly stuck to those plans.
When you didn't stick to them, what happened?
One time when I didn't stick to it, it was a planning error on my part.
Okay.
I thought we had something at home to eat that we turned out we didn't. So I had to change it up.
Okay. What about the other ones? What about the ones where you just consciously broke it?
There was one time I know I didn't consciously break it. I think I forgot what I had on my plan. And I ate.
Oh, well, there's a problem.
And then later went, oh, wait, I didn't plan that.
Okay, I'm going to just say, I'm going to go out on a limb, that if you know what's on your plan and you follow it, you'll probably lose some weight. So we can clean that part of the dieting woes up. Like, that's an easy fix, right? Just making sure I'm reviewing my plan 3 to 4 times a day. Like, 3 to 4 times a day. Unless you're like me, who eats the exact same meal every single meal for a week. Do you know why I do that?
So you don't have to think about it.
Yeah. Like, I just don't give a fuck. Like, I just don't want to think about it. When you get to where, like, I'm not saying we shouldn't enjoy food. I enjoy that. There's such a bigger payoff for me to just be like, okay, JJ, here's my favorite things I want made this week. And then make me those meals. I'm going to eat them on repeat. So no, I don't have to look at my plan every day, but guess what I do? I write the shit down every day.
Right.
So
yeah, I do that. I can do that for lunch pretty easily.
Okay. But here's the thing. You're like the last girl. You guys are sitting around patting yourself on the back and cheering for yourself for these moments. You're doing it right. And you're not being honest about the parts that are screwing up your progress. Like, let's make those moments pay off. They're not paying off when you're like busting your ass on the other side.
Right.
Like, I'm all about you guys celebrating your successes, but you cannot focus on the 20% that's going right, or the 50% that's going right, or the 80% that's going right, and ignoring the other part. That's the part. And the only reason why you guys are not focused on that part is because you beat yourself up over it. Because if you're not beating yourself up over it, and you're like, this is the answer to every weight loss problem I have. Like, this 20%, the second I solve this, I am going to be naked on the beach with Corinne and all them other girls. Every time they talk about it, I'll be with them. Like, could you imagine that? If you went into realistic planning with a thought, this is the answer to weight loss. Like, this is going to do it. Like, I trust her. I am going to do this. I am not going to doubt myself. I'm going to refuse to, like, not put my full energy and effort into it. Refuse that shit. I am going in because I totally believe I'm just going to lose weight. That's all that's going to happen. I'm losing weight. And this is one of the steps she said works. If you have that conviction, would you do it?
Absolutely.
Okay, then that's just what you need to do. That's what's required, Betsy. You know what Betsy wants?
Tell me the value.
I'm not going to tell you the value in it. You know the value in it. Right now, you are unrealistically planning and overeating and bitching that you're not losing weight. That's the reality of the talk. Every single one of you that did, like, I just got through talking to some Phoenix girls about this last night. So you ain't the only one. Wait, when there's one, there's 1,000 in the tribe. Don't feel like a loner. Feel like, where are my girls at?
No, I know I'm not a loner on this one.
No, and it is the hardest concept for me to convince you guys of, like, I just want to tell you guys that I think the problem is you're overeating. No. I think that's basically what y'all tell me when you say, well, today's the day. I know I've got, like, how long have you been in the tribe?
Sadly, about a year.
Yeah, I've got this whole year's worth of evidence that says I'm really good at planning unrealistically. I also have a year's worth of evidence that says that shit's not paying off the way I thought it would. And all I'm wanting you to do is be like, okay, I'm not going to believe this. I don't give a shit how many dice you failed. I don't care if you think it was supposed to be hard. Like, if you know that's a problem, you don't get to hang on to it anymore. The second you know that's bullshit, guess what you have to do? Let it go. You don't get to keep blaming your lack of progress on the thought you know doesn't work. Do you see what happens?
Yeah.
It's like you're sitting there like, well, I know exactly what the problem is. I believe it's supposed to be hard and all this other stuff. So I'm still not doing the plan. It's like, okay, stop believing that then. Like, just tell yourself, that's shit.
Pick a new thought.
I don't even care if you don't pick a new thought. Tell yourself, that's a shitty one that does not work. Like, I've snuffed you out. You don't even have to believe, like, this is, I think, part of your issue. It's like, you want a new thought that's going to be like, all right, like, you said it in your thing. Tell me the value. When you want to know the value, you know what that translates into? When I understand the value, then it will be easy to do it. No, you'll just understand why you're going to do it and suffer. That's all that's going to happen. You're just going to drop confusion. That's all that's like, there's going to be this big basket of shitty emotion. And we're going to just take confusion and drop him in the trash. But the rest of them, they're all like, we're sitting right here. We're waiting on you. Self-doubt. This isn't going to work, thoughts. They're all playing in the basket, just waiting for you to pick them up and carry them with you while you make the plan. So I will explain one more time why the realistic plan works. Right now, when you're overeating, you are not having the adult conversation you're supposed to be having with yourself. You are having a childlike conversation with yourself. Dieting is supposed to be hard. This is too hard. I've made myself a hard plan. What are some of the other crappy thoughts? Do you believe you can lose weight?
I know I can lose weight. So what I've done it before.
Okay. So what is your poison thought around your weight? Because if you didn't have one, you'd already be losing it. You'd be there in a year.
True.
So what is your belief about it? Other than dieting has to be hard. So you're creating the hard. You're doing your job. Following your own thoughts.
Yeah. That's a good question. I know a lot of times I feel like just in life in general, depression kicks my ass. And, sometimes it's hard for me to just take action on things.
Okay, then you're the person who needs to have a very realistic plan. If action is already hard for you, then why the fuck are you setting yourself up to run a marathon with your food plan?
Yeah.
What if we just go on a 10-minute walk? Do you see how you're like, it's this whole idea, it has to be hard. Here's the thing. Dieting systems do not have to be hard. The hard part is just your mental bullshit. What you actually need to be doing is not the hard part.
Right.
All right, how much weight do you need to lose?
40 to 50 pounds.
All right, so if I said, what month are we in, March?
Yeah.
Okay, you have to be at goal weight by September or you owe me $10,000.
Yikes.
Oh, I thought you believed you can lose weight. You know you can.
That gets like a two-prong response. The first response is, holy crap, that's really hard. And then the second response would be, I better get busy.
Yeah, you need to go with the second response. I need to get busy. That's exactly what you need to be doing. Because, like, yeah. I just gave you what you absolutely could do.
Yeah.
Like, your mind was freak out. And like let's just say 40 pounds. I don't know where my phone is. Shit. I don't even have my phone in here. Who has, like, somebody in the chat. Tell me what, say March, April, May, June, July, August, September, 6 months, 40 pounds. What is that? Do you know how to do math? I don't.
Six. If you saw my GRE scores, you'd know I don't do math.
It's 6.6 pounds a month.
Okay.
That's not even super aggressive.
No.
Not for 40 or 50 pounds. You know what that is? The basics.
Yeah.
I mean, that's literally all it is. It's also realistic planning. Because the fastest way to get that done is to get your overeats under control. If you want to drag it out and be an NPNP a whole nother year, then keep unrealistically planning and overeating. You can do that, or you can take the Orient Express and be at your goal weight by September, and you can, like, for the next 3 weeks, realistically plan like a boss until you're sick and tired of eating that way. And you choose to eat better for yourself because you have depression and you deserve it, and you deserve the energy that comes with healthy food.
Yeah.
You change the, you get sick and tired of eating that way because you desire your weight loss more than this bullshit that you keep telling yourself you want every day. And that's what happens. That's what the realist, that's the value of realistic planning. It allows you to see why you actually want to lose weight more than eat the bullshit you keep talking yourself into behind your own back every single day. It also allows you to start keeping promises to yourself. Because right now, like, you're married to someone who cheats on you. I want you to think, like, are you married?
Yes.
Okay. What if your husband just went out and cheated on you every day? Just somebody new every day. Well, I plan not to cheat on you today. It's on my plan. I'm staying, like, keeping my dick in my pants today. Look, I wrote it down.
I'm gonna be like, oh, so shit. What?
Then he's like, I need one of them coaching calls. For some reason, I just can't do it. You would have a heart attack.
Yeah.
But that is what you're doing to you. When you unrealistically plan and then you eat shit behind your own back, you are cheating on the marriage with yourself. And it's no wonder you feel like shit. Because when we are breaking promises, if you broke promises to your husband, let's pretend he's not even cheating. Let's just say you made promises to your husband every day and you were just sneaking around behind his back doing other shit all the time. Would you feel amazing about yourself?
No.
That's why you don't feel amazing now. Like, I get depression. Like, I really get depression. And I will tell you, one of the reasons I stay out of it is because I learned how to start being my own best friend. And before I could talk better to myself, I had to act better to myself. I had to start showing up and acting the way a friend would act with themselves. And they do that by meeting themselves where they're at, by not shooting all over themselves about food and stuff. And they figure their shit out, and they believe they're going to figure their shit out. Okay, I feel like I just, like, kicked you around the, like, room a little bit. So I want you to realistically plan. Like, yeah. Really take it to heart. I want you to do it with the energy and enthusiasm of, this is taking care of me. There will be a version of me in September that will be so proud of the work I've done on myself, not only with my food and my health and all this other stuff, that depression will become the easiest thing I manage. And I really believe that.
That sounds fabulous.
It is. But I'm just going to tell you, this first part is the hardest. It's full of the doubt. You just have to set it aside. Because here's the thing, you guys can trust yourselves or you can trust me. I'd trust me right now until you until you get your brains cleaned up enough. Like get your brains cleaned up enough to where it's like, okay, I got this now. I don't have to just trust Corinne. I trust me. Like, let me like carry that part for a little bit with my wisdom, my research, my stuff. And just feel like it doesn't matter what's happened in my past. It doesn't matter what diets I've done. It doesn't even matter what I think about myself and stuff. I know she knows what she's talking about. Just going to put that trust right on over there for a little while. It will be a relief.
Yeah.
Well, it's no different. Like I have, there's times in my, like, you know, I don't struggle with the weight now, but I struggle with the business a lot. You know, how you show up in one way is how you show up in another. Like all my doubts and fears all show up running a business now. And a lot of times, that's why I have a mentor. When I don't trust me, I have someone I look to who helps guide me through that. She doesn't just tell me what to do. She lays out what to do and helps me manage my emotions around it. All right.
All right.
All right, Mama. Have a good one.
Hey, thank you.
All right. Go cry or something and then you'll feel better.
I gotta go to a meeting. Never mind. I have to go to a meeting and, you know, like participate. So
yeah, just drink a big glass of water and look at everybody like, I'm fine.
Everything's okay. Leave me alone.
Right. All right. Bye, lady.
All right. Bye.
All right. Who is next? Melissa, you're next. A lot of you guys have your hands up. This call, we have people pre-selected. So make sure you lower your hands, okay? I know sometimes the phones, it ends up bumping and all that kind of stuff. All right, Miss Melissa, you'll have to put your phone or go down to the bottom left and join with audio and all that kind of stuff. And guys, I know a lot of you have had husbands that cheat on you. So please, I'm not making light of any kind. I've been cheated on twice myself in the past. I'm not making light of it. A lot of times I use very strong examples like that because we all can understand the severity of that. And I don't want us ever thinking that when we break promises to ourselves, like it's not that big a deal. It should be the biggest deal it ever was. It should be our own word to ourselves should mean more than the word of any other person in this world. Like if that word doesn't mean everything, then the rest of them don't matter either. All right. Hello. Sorry. Hey. It's like I brought you on. I was like, oh, I got to have a moment to preach.
It's okay. I was figuring out the audio.
Oh, okay. So let me read yours. I keep forgetting this is the one where we have specific things. My worst belief about weight loss is blank and I need help fixing it. What did you say? I have too much to lose and will never be successful. So you've had doctors say you have too much weight to lose and you'll never be successful?
Exactly. In the office.
So why do you believe them?
I don't know. I guess I proved them right.
You haven't proved them right. We don't know what your future is.
Well, I gained 80 pounds back that I lost because he said I couldn't do any more.
That's not why. All right, that's not the doctor's fault. Like, first of all,
I know. It's my choice to
believe someone else's opinion.
Right.
And eat. Like, here's what really happened. He gave you an opinion that allowed you to eat stuff you like. That's all that happened. He did not know, like, I'm going to promise you right now, you ain't got no crystal ball, I ain't got no crystal ball, and that doctor ain't got one either. If somebody really has one that tells the future, they would be rich. And they would have lines everywhere to find out what's going to happen. You know the only time you know what's going to happen in the future? When you fucking get to work on making the future happen.
True.
You got to work on his future. So why?
I don't know.
So what's going to, like, you said, I'm drowning I need to get back on the journey. It's been 5 years. All right, so we can just wipe all that out now. Like, I'm going to give you the best advice anybody's going to get on this call. All of that you now know is not true. So you should, like, never use it as an excuse ever again for food. You can come up with a brand new excuse if you want to, but that one doesn't get to happen anymore. And because that's the thing. Once we know something's not true, we don't get to keep using it.
Right.
So what's it going to take?
I don't know. Planning, which I've started. I actually have 7 straight days of realistic plans.
Good.
I started last week with myself and accountability partner, and oh, they've been messed up, but I have done them every single day and assessed every single day.
Okay.
For the first time in a year. So
in your case, I would never call them messed up. Now, some of them other girls I can get on their ass because they've been playing in their doo-doo a long time and they know they have. You, I don't think, have realized long enough you've been in the doo-doo. You probably stay in your own mental drama for so long or for so much that you actually need to celebrate all of it. Like, all of it.
Yeah.
Like, some of them other girls, like, this time for you to level up. Like, you celebrating is the level up. And guys, this is very important. You know, it's, y'all have to like understand when you're celebrating your successes and not getting traction, that means it's time to get off your ass. Or when you're spending so much time on your ass that you're risking your traction you have. So no poo-poo in anything you do at all. Because this is the thing. Are you used to self-judgment?
All day, every day.
Okay. So anybody that's used to self-judgment has to go 100% all in on the other way. Because that self-judgment is going to come in fast. So you got to out-practice it. You have to learn how to out-practice it. Because for right now, it's going to be like 10% I'm proud of myself. 90% I'm finding problems.
Right.
And it'll be that way for a couple weeks. And you have to give yourself that 10% dopamine hit of like, no, we don't say messed up. I was off plan. I'm learning how to do this. I've got 7 days under my belt. This is great. Then it starts turning to 20%, which means there's 80%. You start getting a little relief from the verbal beatdowns. And you start understanding that this feels a little better. And what will happen is you'll also start gaining experience. You'll start finding new, like, things that feel good about the journey. You'll start finding things that feel good about making better choices for yourself. It won't all feel so shitty or hard, like our old stories around it being, it's hard, it's depriving, it's this, it's that. That's why I want you in particular, you need to be very realistic. And there's only, definitely. Go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, definitely. My biggest thing with it is I have it in my head that I have to be and do the same thing that my husband's doing. And if he's not participating, then, oh, well, I'll just do what he's doing.
No.
So it's like, oh, I know.
Why do you need him?
I don't know. I don't know. I just feel like that we should both do it together, and he's got to want it, and I want it for him.
The best way, if you want it for him, you know what the best way to get it for him is?
To do it myself.
Yeah. Show him how great this life is and how great you feel and how much you love him.
Right.
Because what sometimes you guys do is you start losing the weight and you start the nagging. And he's like, whatever you're doing is not great.
Right.
I don't want to be this part. I don't want to be a bitch. I mean, seriously, when you guys nag and you want them to change and all this other stuff, do you know what that says to them? Like, if your husband nagged and constantly was on your ass about stuff, you'd be sitting there thinking, is there something wrong with me? Like, that's what they think. Just because they don't, like, men still think that stuff, whether or not they articulate, this is how they articulate it. Get off my ass. You're a bitch. That's their way of saying, you think something's wrong with me.
Right.
You must not love me. I must not be good enough for you. Like, that's the way they internalize it. They externalize it, grumpy, withdrawn, like eating whatever they want. This is my thing. So the best, like, seriously, you guys think that you need support in order to lose weight? His support would be nice, but it's not a requirement. It's just like, you know, going on vacation and saying, well, I can't stay at this hotel. They didn't give me an upgrade.
Right.
It's like, no, I think you can still do vacation and stuff without an upgrade. That, when you get support around you, you in your car looking at people.
Well, I just see things out of the corner of my eye and it freaks me out. I'm in a parking lot.
Okay. Well, just make sure nobody comes up and is like,
right.
One of the things you guys have to realize is that, like, that whole idea, like, you're the only reason why you would want somebody's support is if you felt like you couldn't do it on your own or that it would make things so much easier. It's like, it's not really going to make anything easier. It's not even a helpful thought.
Right.
It's just one of those things where it's like, decide to love the two of you enough to be the one that changes first. There was something that actually, let me read this. They talked about this a little bit. I want to read this. This was good. Well, go ahead and tell me what else you want to tell me. I'm going to find this while you're talking.
Oh, I mean, that's just my biggest struggle is, I mean, like, literally I joined in March of last year and that was after 3 days. I heard one podcast and I was like, I know this is what I need to do. Like, it just is the first thing in that 4 years, because now I've been five, that it clicked. And I was gung-ho and ready to go for 3 days. And then I was like, this is hard. I can't do this. And then it's, you know, I'll take a day or two here and I'll make a plan and I'll half-ass follow it. And then I'm like, oh, well, I'll just do what I want to do. And then when we got the email, you know, saying, you know, what is our worst belief? And I haven't committed because I never felt like I could truly do it. So it's like, okay, so let me fill this out. And then I was shocked when I actually got the email back for the call. And I was like, okay, so maybe I really got to get my ass in gear. And so the last 7 days, I've literally made a plan and followed it. And it's definitely not as hard as I thought it would be. But right. I just...
Most of us always think it's harder than it's ever going to be. It's that's when you're like, if you think it's going to be hard, you need to ask yourself, what do I think about this is going to be hard? And you list that out because then you'll see the weird shit you think. Just like, you know, well, I'm going to have to give up carbs or I'm going to have to, like, you know, people always have some bullshit in there that I've never put in the program ever. I'm like, I didn't know that was a basic, you know, it's like it's four basics,
right?
You know, it's like waiting until you're slightly hungry, just a little, like not, and be like, oh, I just don't know if I can handle that hunger.
Right.
Like, well, wait till you think you're hungry then. Like, start with when you think you'll be hungry. Don't just preemptive eat because you're like, well, fuck it. There's always something you can be doing.
Right. And see, that's the hardest part for me is I can skip. I can eat, like not eat breakfast, skip through lunch. And then by the time dinner rolls around or, you know, 4 o'clock in the afternoon when I have a break, I'm like, holy shit, I haven't eaten today. I'm starving. And then that's when it starts.
You need to have a plan.
I have a plan. It's written down. And it's like, you know, I know in the mornings, I don't even know why I plan breakfast or maybe I should just plan it later. I don't know. Cause I've never eating breakfast. Like I've never been breakfast.
All right. So then tell me right now, why are you planning breakfast?
Because we're supposed to plan three meals a day. I don't know. It's everybody.
No, that's not a basic. Melissa, what are the four basics?
sleep, make a 24-hour plan. Oh, come on.
Hunger scale.
Hunger scale, yes. And
it's abundant throughout the world. There's 7 of them. Water.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what I struggle. I don't drink enough water.
Okay. Well, you're drinking it now.
The first bottle all day. Literally.
That's okay. Then get on the water. I'm going to tell you, no one, like y'all, you got to quit dismissing the water.
Oh, I do. Sleep and water are the two that are, sleep is the worst. Like I literally 2 to 3 hours a night most of the time, and I'll have a day every 2 or 3 weeks that I'll catch up.
Why are you getting 2 to 3 hours of sleep? I mean, are you going to bed or not?
I do. No, I do go to bed and I just lay there. Just lay there and lay there.
Okay, that's fine. Are you playing with your phone when you're doing it?
Eventually.
Stop.
For the first like hour, hour and a half, no. I'm like, sleep.
Yeah. So this is what you've taught your brain.
Hour and a half.
For 90 minutes, we're not going to do anything. But at minute 91.
Right.
And then Facebook. Yep.
Yeah.
Scrolling through.
Yeah. No.
Right.
You have to train your brain. It's just sitting there waiting. It's keeping you active in your mind because it's like, yeah, she breaks at 90 minutes.
Right.
And then we get to, because that phone, every post is a dopamine hit. It's like taking a pixie stick and going, ooh, another post. Ooh, another post.
Right.
Like, seriously. Do not dismiss this. That is exactly what's happening.
Okay.
Your brain is like, okay, so we're going to eat sugar during the day when we want to keep ourselves awake, and we're going to like act like a donkey so that we can make sure that we can be wide awake for 90 minutes laying still so that we can get all those pixie sticks later in the evening.
Wow.
That is all that's happening with you. You will start sleeping when you get on the water.
Okay.
You're probably dehydrated considerably. Your body will not want to go to sleep when it's dehydrated because it's going to need to repair and it needs water to do that.
And I definitely don't. I don't drink enough. I don't drink 64 ounces of anything in a day.
Okay.
Water, soda, coffee.
Zero. Like, you could not give me a good reason.
I just don't. Like, if it's not there, like if I'm at work, I'm at my desk and I literally am there for 3 to 4 hours depending, you know, if we're super busy, I don't move. Like, I just take it.
Then you and need to go to the store when you leave this parking lot.
Go from one to
go buy water and put it in.
I have bottles of water. Like, I bought 40 at the grocery store yesterday.
Okay, then you need to take a case and put it under your desk. Where's all the water? When you're sitting there and you're busy and you don't have it, where is the water?
It's in my kitchen.
Yeah, you're not going to the kitchen. You know what you're going to do? You're likely to drink it if it's at your feet. Like, you've proven your ass ain't getting up to go get water.
Right. I'm not.
So then you have to prove yourself. Like, okay, well, then I got to make it easy. Like, I need to fucking trip over the water to if I want to even get up, or if I want to, you know, like, turn myself in my chair. Oh, shit, there's that water. She probably should be drinking.
I stand up right at my desk, but to leave, it's, you know, I just don't.
Yeah. Well, you're not motivated to because you keep telling yourself you don't drink water.
Right.
First of all, you have to quit identifying as someone who doesn't drink water. Your biggest issues is all identity. It's all identity. I can't lose weight. I am destined to regain it. I'll never lose it. You're identifying as I'm not a water drinker. I'm not a good sleeper. I'm not someone who can lose weight on their own. Like, you're identifying as everything that is counterintuitive to what you want to do. So it's going to be really important for you to never say those words again. You need to catch it. Like, and guys, when I say never say these words again, this is what I mean. You need to hear me say that. And then every time you think it and every time you want to say it, you correct yourself.
Like, I don't.
And it will be exhausting. But guess what? When you're laying in bed at night with nothing to do, you can chant, I'm a water drinker.
Okay.
I am losing this weight. I am figuring this out. I have no more excuses standing in my way. None. You don't have any.
Okay.
And you're going to have to like legit repeat that. Do not sit there in that bed and think about how you can't go to sleep.
Right.
If you're going to sit there in the bed, be productive. Do not grab your Facebook phone. There's nothing good to be had there.
Right.
You need to be sitting there thinking about your future. And if you don't like the future you see, you change the image. You see yourself next week, it only taken 60 minutes to fall asleep. You visualize yourself working and drinking water. You visualize yourself getting all of those bonus steps because you're going to the potty so much. Like, you need to be thinking about the person that loses weight on repeat and all the time. You need to be thinking about the conversation you have in your head when doubt comes in. The conversation, like, these are the things
I... How do you change that, though? Like, how do you... Like,
you do just what I said. Exactly. Oh. I just laid it out for you. You want it to stop. I don't want it to stop. I want it to come in and you'd be like, oh, yeah, that's bullshit. I don't believe that anymore. This is what I talk about in my head. That process, though, only is going to happen with you. Like, literally, this is how you do it. This is me pretending I'm in bed. I'm like this. And I'm like you. Fuck. It's like, went to bed 2 hours ago. I'm losing weight. Tomorrow, I think I'm going to like move those water bottles to the left-hand side. Maybe my left foot is a better trigger than the right foot. I wonder what I'll be thinking about next week when I'm going to the bathroom so much because I'm drinking so much water. That's literally the process. It looks dumb as shit. But like your brain is an idiot. It's got to be talked to like that because this is what it's doing right now. Oh my God. I'm not a good sleeper. I'm so uncomfortable. I've been in PNP like a year and I haven't lost any weight. I hate that damn doctor. He should have, like, I should have been at least 100 pounds down by now. That, like, that's what you're doing. You're like, I'm just not a water drinker. I don't know why the four basics has to have water involved. That's what we do.
I've asked that.
Yes. But that, like, y'all always make fun of me when I show you, like, the conversation you should have. And then I'm just like, I'm never going to lose weight. I'm so hopeless. And y'all don't think that's ridiculous at all. And I'm like, what are you guys talking about? That's the most fucking dumb thing I've ever seen. And we all do it every day.
Right.
And we don't call ourselves on our bullshit. We don't make fun of ourselves. We don't like say like, oh my God, I'm so ridiculous. I don't even know why I would think that. Oh, I know why I would think that. Because I wasn't thinking this shit over here right now. Let me go over here and think this shit. Because if you're going to feel stupid in your thoughts, you might as well be telling yourself really good ones.
Okay.
I promise y'all this shit works. It just feels ridiculous because you're not used to it. And I'm going to tell you, I sit around now and I'm just like, oh my God, I slayed today. I cannot wait to get up tomorrow. Just like, it's a good day. I mean, like I have conversations like that. And that's what allows me to get up in the morning at 4:30 and go to bed at like 8:30 and 9.
Right.
Because I'm just like so all about having a good life. I'm willing to do anything it takes to get there, including dumbass visualizations and chants. All right. You can do this. Who's your partner?
Well, it was Jen. Her name was Jen, and she's gone. She had to quit the tribe.
Okay.
I have another one, Sarah.
Okay.
So.
All right. Then you make sure that you guys are checking in and holding each other truly accountable. That means calling, like, y'all be nice, but calling each other on bullshit, like, you're not supposed to be saying stuff like that. Like, she needs to be, like, every time you're, like, are you Marco Poloing or texting or how you're doing it?
Facebook Messenger.
Okay, on Facebook Messenger. Anytime you throw shade at yourself or apologize for something, whatever it is, she needs to come back and be like, no, ma'am. retype this in the way Corinne would be like, approved.
Okay.
You do the same for her. All right?
For sure.
All right.
Will do.
All right.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Bye.
I don't know if you guys can tell, but I am so motivated right now. Oh my gosh. I just, y'all, I can't even tell you how great these last 4 days were. I just, pages and pages of notes. Like, I want to tell all of you, I was going to just tell the campers this, but I want to tell all of you this. He said to us on that first day, and I want all of you to have, while I was there, one of the things I worked on so hard was really identifying my purpose. Because, you know, we just have so much that we love about you guys. And I didn't want it to just be our mission statement. And one of the things that I had just, like, was telling Chris that has just moved me is that I wanted, like, I feel like my mission in life is to help women believe they can do it. Just, like, do anything. Because I don't think anything can happen until belief is solidified. So he was talking. I'd never heard anybody say this at a conference when he was, like, he said so many good things. But one of the things he said was that when you are here to use your pen and pretend that fire and brimstone is coming out of it. So when you guys are listening to these calls, you take notes. Like, these were everything to me. And I know a lot of you listen to me and you love the shit I say and you think that I say epic shit. Write it down. There is a magic. Like, I mean, I understand you guys can't just sit around and, like, write all day long, you know. But for those of you who come to the calls and stuff especially, write. Write the stuff that I say down. Take the time. If you hear a call that's so good and resonates with you, listen again. When you have a notebook and you write it, and then you write about why it was so important to you, and then you write about how you're going to put it into action and what you're going to do with it. You write, like, the thing I'm going to tell the campers, you write like your life and every dream you have for you and your family counts on it. And when you think about it that way, when you think about listening to the courses, doing the worksheets, taking notes when I do these, like, Zoom calls and stuff, when you think about it like that, it's a game changer. It just is. I'm really going to focus so much on all of us putting our full, real energy into this. Not just listening and being like, oh, preach. None of that shit. Like, really getting energetic about it. Embodying all of this. Like, die hard in it. I know that all of you can do it. Just got to get out of your way. That's all that's got to happen. And you can just start believing that you will figure this out. Like, I just know that that is the magic sentence. You don't have to believe it's going to happen tomorrow, and you don't have to believe it's going to be easy, and you don't have to believe that you're going to be perfect. You don't have to believe any of that stuff. That stuff is bullshit. What you really have to believe is that you're going to figure it out this time. So whatever happens, and every obstacle and every overeating something serves a purpose to getting you there. And I just think that just changes everything. Okay. I probably just need to go to bed at this point. Y'all have a good one, and I will talk to you later. Bye, y'all.